call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, Alana.
Hi, Sasha.
We have the most special guests.
I think there is not a more fitting group of gals.
I also cannot even tell you how many people have requested this
episode. This crossover. I want like dun 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 dun. Because today on the pod we have the amazing, the incredible Maya and Anna from Pen 15. On free period today. I can't believe you guys are doing this.
This is a dream come true.
This is a dream come true.
Everything we could have wanted for this podcast. This is why we did this.
I feel
it's
like
our
I'm
best
dreaming.
Intro. I know.
It's wow. Like a weird dream that I have, and then someone's like, on opposite day or something. Thanks for
Thank
having
us. Thank
you
guys.
Opposite day was the bane of my existence. Mm-hmm. We're just jumping into it.
I had an older brother, Theo.
It's a ruthless term.
All the time. Opposite day was horrible because Theo would be like, you look so nice. Happy opposite day.
It's so funny. It's so good.
It was horrible. So let's just start with the question we ask every guest, even though we know the answer to this one because we are obsessed with Pen 15, as all our listeners are.
As everyone is on the planet.
Were you cool in seventh grade or middle school?
We were just talking about this.
Well, actually, Anna has a really great story about this because she ran into someone from her past. I don't know if you want to talk about it, but
from my high school. Yeah. Well, we went to middle school together too. But the short answer is you were. Well, I kind of started to learn how to pretend to be what other, like I started to understand don't be too smart. Don't answer too many questions. Act like you like sports. Don't let people see you trip as much. You know, I just started to understand, like, don't tell people to not cheat and look at my, you know, things that I was doing was affecting my cool factor. And so, and then, yeah,
were
I slowly kind of figured
were
it out.
Were you narc and telling people not to cheat?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was that girl.
You'd
yeah.
be like, you're cheating.
I'd be like, you need to, like, study.
But you wouldn't tell on people.
I didn't tell, but I would brood that I did the work. Yeah, I wasn't cool. And then if someone swore, this was in elementary school, but I'd tell them not to.
So
I know it's embarrassing. I'm regretting
the
sharing the truth.
Fifth grade of you is the version in Pen 15 as opposed to seventh grade, because she like figured it out more in seventh grade.
Yeah, it's kind of a hybrid.
Yeah,
because I was still failing all the time in seventh grade, and you know, figuring out that people shopped at Limited too, and that I needed to try to go there too, or something, you know, an off brand.
For me, I feel like I felt like such a loser, and I had like my outcast friends. But when I talk to people now that I went to middle school with, they're like, really? You seemed like happy and fine. And so I think it was all on the inside that I was like in turmoil, but was sort of friendly with a lot of people. Like it was sort of the like kind of not really friends with everyone, but like friendly with everyone. But I felt like totally hurt and left out by the popular kids. So that was me.
I relate to that. And also when you're friendly with a lot of groups, it can feel like you're never the one invited to the birthday party.
Never.
You know, you're like, well, we sit together sometimes at lunch. You're not an integral part of anyone's life.
And I wasn't hot. So like I was always the friend like hooking people
you were
up.
Hot.
But Anna, you saw
hot.
The picture of me in seventh grade. Are you kidding? Guys, I had a mustache and wore a Care Bear sweatshirt.
Your intro on the show, it's pictures of both of you as sixth, seventh, eighth graders. Every time the intro comes on, I'm like, oh, they were hot. Like they were very hot. There was not one bad photo.
That's not true. That's very nice. But guys, the first crush I had in middle school, I'm going to
call them.
I need to be on your Wi-Fi.
They just left the Zoom. They just left the
What's
Zoom.
What's your Wi-Fi?
There's too, Georgetown.
There's too gonna, much star I'm power on. There's too much star power on should this I, thing.
George? Or George?
Should I FaceTime?
Yeah.
What's the password? I'm so sorry. No, it won't happen again. It won't happen again.
Okay, so I was saying how good you guys look in your intros to Pen 15.
It's very kind. No one there has are ever also said some that. Pictures from us in high school, to be fair. Like we did from like, it goes
college
from,
down.
Yeah, from college down.
Interesting. Interesting.
But I was going to say the guy that I had a big crush on, his name, maybe I won't say his name, but people call
him. You can say pseudonyms. We always do pseudonyms.
His nickname was Thump. And I, Thump. And apparently he had like a huge dick. This is Thump? Us in seventh grade. And like none of us are like having sex, but we're just talking about these things right. of like, because I guess maybe Thump was like about the like thump that it would make
of on when the table.
It fell on the table. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it God. Is.
It's gotta be.
Didn't get that then. I thought it was like a rabbit. Like,
Thumper. That's what I thought it was. Like Thumper.
He's cuddly and maybe cute. It is that. Maybe it is that. I don't know.
No, it's a penis for sure.
I mean, crazy.
What a crazy nickname to have in seventh grade.
Was this that's seventh like grade?
This was seventh
that's
grade.
That's an insane nickname.
I had a huge crush on him. Someone told him for me as a friend, and she came back and reported that she was like, I asked him, like, would you ever want to hook up with Maya? And he was like, oh, no, that ugly bitch. And I heard those words back, and that was it. So I was like,
are
all right.
You kidding me?
But also, that's my identity.
Your friend that was delivering that message could have sugarcoated it a little bit.
When they say don't shoot the messenger, I'm always like, no, you can shoot the messenger. I am not okay with deliver. I don't want to know a single bad word spoken about me. To this day, I don't want to know. If someone's acting like they're my friend and talking shit behind my back and my other friends is trying to protect me, I don't want to be protected. I'd rather continue the friendship.
Don't tell me.
Yeah, I relate
bliss.
To that.
Yeah, ignorance is bliss.
I also asked a guy out many times in fifth grade and they all said no. And then in seventh grade, there was a guy that I really liked and we'll call him Chad. And
love Chad.
Chad was a great golfer. We had science class. I asked his best friend, will you ask Chad out for me at lunch? And then wait time. And you're like kind of looking over and not. And then we got back into science class and I was like, what did he say? And he said, ask Chad yourself. And so I thought that was a good thing.
That's what I would think.
Yeah. And so I was like, hey, and then I said, you know, what was your answer? And then he went, yeah. So he put a thumbs up and then cruelly jetted it down to the ground with his tongue out while he spit. Yeah.
Guys.
No.
Yeah. And then I was like, okay, cool. And then cried, of course. Yeah.
Do you think kids do that
now? Where do they learn this?
Yeah. Where did they learn this?
They do still do it. I know they still
do it. So I actually noticed. So I was hanging with a 13-year-old recently. It was a family friend. And I was showing this boy and his younger sister Legally Blonde for the first time. And I was so excited to show the younger sister. And the 13-year-old was just like railing on Reese Witherspoon the entire time.
Why?
Because he probably had a crush on her.
Right. So that's still happening.
He was like, she's so stupid. Like, oh, well, I would never date her. I would so break up with her. And it was, it's still happening.
So funny.
It's still happening, let me tell you. But I think the reasons are always like, I think they don't know what to do with their feelings.
Well, I think now it's like different. Like when I did Licorice Pizza, I was like surrounded by young people.
Right.
Oh,
and
yeah.
the thing that freaked me out the most was like, there was like a scene. Because like what I remember when I was in seventh grade was we had AIM and that's how you connected with the masses. Like Sparkly Girly 311, that was my name.
That's a good one. Ooh, that's really good.
I was a sparkly girly, I guess. I don't even know. And of course I did 311 because Esty liked 311. So I was like, that's so cool. Sparkly Girly 311. But like now there's just so much technology that like, I'll never forget like a kid, like a child came up to me and asked me what my Snap was. And I literally said, excuse me? I was like, you are speaking a different language. He goes, what's your Snap? And I was like, I don't
You're
have
like, the
that.
Thing that I'm turns me on.
I was like, first of all, who are you? And also the confidence.
What's happening?
I don't know.
We have to explain what's happening. Okay, to all our listeners, what keeps happening is
they keep on leaving the Zoom.
I know, but it is funny we didn't do this in person. But they keep dropping out of the Zoom.
That they were coming over to my house.
Oh, can we also
really
just
excited.
Explain to our listeners, Alana, her house is immaculate right now because she thought Anna and Maya were coming over to record. There are four water bottles on the table. There's a candle lit. Feels like an audition room.
You guys.
Guys. I have no idea what's happening. This has never happened.
I'm on the Wi-Fi. I just went out of all, clicked out of all my apps.
You're so, it's you know so what? Fun. We just explained to our listeners what's been going on. And I think it's beautiful. And I think let's roll with it.
I also think it's the full moon in Virgo. There's a full moon in Virgo right now. And I feel like that's just causing chaos.
I also have a theory that and it's been told to me from my people that I have an energy that scrambles technology.
It Are does. You kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding. I know that sounds psychotic, and most of the time when I say it, I'm like, ha ha, isn't that a funny idea? And then once a week, I'm like, my energy scrambled the technology.
That's incredible. That line, did someone deliver that line to you?
You know, it started with my own theory, believe it or not. And then the sound person on a show was like, I've never heard this static happening, and it's only happening. Every time I get close to you, it starts getting feedback. I'm a fucking ghost.
Okay. Anyways, I was just saying that like now they have
Snapchat
and Snapchat. I didn't really know what Snapchat. That was way after my time of technology. Like I have Instagram and like that's all I have. But like I figured out what Snapchat was and I'm like that would have given me so much anxiety if I was in seventh grade because it's a thing that you have to watch and then it goes away forever.
Oh, I would have.
And I was like, oh my god. Well, I would have just freaked the fuck out if I had to deal with that. But that's what the kids are doing now. I had to comfortably say, hi, I'm 30. Please don't ever ask me for my snap that I don't have. I'm old. Please get away from me. But thank you.
And now it's, you know, TikTok and all of those.
Oh, no, it's so much. I think with Snapchat, if I had had it, I 100% would have sent nudes. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
It's take a drink whenever I say I was the queen of cybering, but I was the queen of cyber sex.
Really?
But in person, no boys liked me. I was so shy around boys. I was so awkward. But online, shoes 626, I was like
on fire.
Shoes 626.
It was another person. I wanted to be.
Get you in trouble? Like, did anyone ever print out the conversation?
Yeah.
My school was very shamey, like around women. I mean, that was the slut generation shaming, too, right. But yeah, very like hyper slut shaming. So in my town, that would have gotten like printed out, posted on the walls.
That's horrible. No, that horrible. I was able to cyber in private, but I did. This is everyone, all of our listeners has heard the story, but I was catfished by my best friend in eighth grade for like months. It was months of like developing
a
cyber.
A girl or a boy?
A girl.
Are they still your friend?
No, I haven't spoken to them since, honestly, eighth grade.
Evil. Whoa.
So what happened was I was cybering and I was like, it was very Titanic. We were like in backseat of a car and like it was getting really hot and heavy. And I said that I banged my head against the car window because I thought that was sexy. And then the guy was like, wait, are you okay?
And
he was like, are you okay? And so then I was like, no, I'm totally fine. It was like a sexy bang. And then the next day my friend was like, oh my god, I heard that you like banged your head against the window. And I was like, I can't believe Matt told you that. What an asshole. And it was just my friend the whole time.
She ended up being Matt.
So she shamed me for like banging my head against a
window.
Like, but I want to know what your relationship, like I want to hear both of your, we want to hear both of your screen names. I love the AIM scenes in Pen 15.
Thank you. That's so nice. Yeah, my screen name, I had two. When I was in elementary school, it was Banana 8214. That
felt naughty. Problematic as time went on. Both innocent and problematic. And then I, my second screening was Star Four-Way C, which also was, I was like, I tried Moon, I tried, and then it.
You wanted like celestial.
I wanted something celestial, but then I was in theater, so then I looked like a psycho. And then on top of it, it did, and that was part of the influence for our AIM episode, it did a random algorithm, and it did Four-Way C, you know, you can't just get. And so I didn't think about it at the time because I made it in like fifth grade. And then that was, it was like Four-Way, you down, you down. And I was the least down person you've ever met at that time. And so now I'm super down for Four-Ways. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we all are.
We all are.
At this point, yeah. Me too.
Okay.
What
we asked them again. They're off the Zoom. To all of our listeners, what's happening now is they're off the Zoom, but in about 30 seconds,
They're going to come back on.
And they're going to be laughing, and we're going to do the same thing, like, oh my God, why does this keep happening? And
I also, honestly, now to all our listeners, I'm realizing that I have a cystic acne pimple on my goggles.
I don't know what to do. This is going to happen again, obviously.
It's fine.
Honestly, it makes me laugh.
It's a good bit. It's like a funny bit.
You're also hearing on the other end, you know, they're on that voice audio.
You will hear us. You will hear us going, what the fuck?
No, that's amazing. That's so perfect. Wait, that's perfect when it comes out. It's just going to be our voices talking over each other. Okay.
You're just going to hear a ghost that's like, that's going to be my energy.
Okay, so continue. Theater nerd, Four-Way, down for four ways now.
I blacked out when I was talking about it because it's humiliating. Yeah, down for four ways. And yeah, guys in high school would just take that as I was down for a four-way. And I very much wasn't. I didn't have my first kiss till eighth grade. And then I think I gave my first hand job in when I was a junior in high school. And I can barely say it was a hand job.
Hand job? Like, let's hear everyone's first time.
Well, actually, Maya, you definitely know because me and Maya went to the same high school.
We did.
Right.
I went to Loxa. Maya went to Loxa. I gave my first hand job in F Lot.
That's a good place to give it.
Explain.
F-Lot was like F-Lot. Where all the seniors and juniors parked at our school. It was called F-Lot.
It's where you'd smoke cigarettes sometimes, but I got caught. I had to by a cop. There was a cop and he like read me my Miranda rights and he scared the shit out of me. And I was like, I just started smoking. Like, yeah, it was ridiculous. And then like they just, you know, lectured me. And then I had, because I lied about a ticket. I was like, I'm 18. Like I can smoke. And then because I lied, they found out and he was like, you could go to jail. Like
you were 16.
I was 16.
You were 16. You could go to jail.
I didn't know anyone that ever got caught in F-Lot. I mean, we were all scared.
I know.
Because we're on, and we were all children smoking.
But everyone did so many drugs at that school. It was a wild, because it's a college campus. So you could like go to so many different areas to like do your drugs, do things. And you might get like Miss Huber coming, you know, to find you. But, you know,
she put me on disciplinary probation.
She did?
I hated her.
For what?
This is a good story because Maya definitely had the same teacher. So in Mr. Sorensen's class. So Mr. Sorensen, everybody had Mr. Sorensen in ninth grade. He taught this thing called Jane Schaefer method that literally haunts my fucking dreams. It's this thing where it's like a way to write an essay, but it bothered me so much because basically it's like the last part of the paragraph you have to give your opinion, but you can't say you can't like do anything but it's your opinion.
Right.
So you're like, how the fuck do I do this? Like, I'm trying to be Good Will Hunting about it and figure out how to give my opinion without saying, I think.
Right.
We had to do this stupid thing. Like, we read, like, Great Expectations or some shit. And there was a kid in my class that was in the art department that I wanted to become friends with because all the visual artists were always the coolest kids at Loxa. And I really wanted this kid to be like my friend. He sat behind me and he was like, can I copy your homework? And I was like, cool. And for some fucking reason, I decided to say yes while we were in class. So he was live copying my homework in class. I was a dumbass and said yes. he was called the kid up to the class and was like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm copying homework. I was like, oh, great. Cool.
Oh,
and then
no.
He's like, whose homework is it? And he goes, Alana. And I was like, oh, cool. And then I had to go to Ms. Huber's office and she put me on disciplinary probation. And I've never, and luckily the thing is like, I was very lucky. Danielle was a senior when I was a freshman. So I'm like coming to Danielle in tears being like, I had never gotten in trouble before. I was like a good kid.
Yeah, especially yeah, yeah.
When it came to like getting in trouble. And I came to Danielle in tears. I was like, I'm on disciplinary probation. And she was like, dude, I've been on disciplinary probation like every year. Everyone gets on disciplinary probation. Like, she's like, don't be a dumbass and do anything else. Like, if you don't get caught again, you're fine. And I was like, okay. Okay. But yeah, Miss Huber was like, she was like nice, but was always like when you got in trouble, she would always just be like, I'm calling your parents. I remember trying.
She just would walk like, around with her heels and just be like, you can't be smoking right now. Just like always like a little voice in the corner coming to get you in trouble. But you couldn't really get in trouble.
Like badasses.
But I wasn't. I was just like you. I was a good girl. Like I was like
and
so scared of everything. Yeah, when I first got there, a girl on the first day was like, do you want to smoke with me? And I was like, no, like I don't have any cigarettes. And then like I got one from a girl and I held it in like a box for like the whole year. I just was like saving it in this like gift wrapped box of like maybe one day like I'll smoke this cigarette. And then
that's like your show.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're right. That's what
it's the finale of the first season. Yeah.
And then I ended up smoking it and then I like went to Italy and got like 20 cartons and like brought them back and I got all my friends to smoke with me.
And then you went wild.
And then I went wild. And then I did some crazy ass drugs.
I know when you guys talk about Loxa,
you did?
I picture like
Yeah, did we
kids.
Not talk about this?
Well, Loxa was crazy.
Loxa was crazy.
You guys were like at an art college.
And I was such a good girl and like having the cigarette and then meth, but then like having the cigarette and then I was smoking weed. And you could get away with things because you were, I don't know, it just was like a wide area, so like not a lot of supervision. I mean, I feel bad talking about Lox in this way.
I talk about Lox in this way all the time.
Okay.
It's, I have no fault. I'm not even on the Wikipedia page for Lox, so I'm like, fuck you guys.
You're
like,
me.
They actually don't even care about
they
me.
They asked you to come back and like teach or do something. Which is fucking crazy.
I don't think my local newspaper, it's a suburb out of Boston, has ever said one thing about Pen 15.
Have they really not asked? Yeah, like no one.
On my own accord. So basically on my own accord, like we got this opportunity to go and give Mr. Friedman, who you also definitely had.
Yes.
Like Mr. Friedman was like our history teacher and he was like the cool hippie teacher. Like he went to Woodstock. That was like That was his like claim to fame that like when he was a teenager, he like went to Woodstock and like was there when Woodstock was happening. He like talks about Jimi Hendrix. And so like we had the opportunity to like give a teacher a shit ton of money for like the school. And we were like, so on our own accord, we like gave Mr. Friedman all this money. But when we came back, so I'll never forget, like I come back to Loxa, you know, I remember when I was like younger, when like older kids would come, I would just want to be them and just be like, whoa, they're so cool and like everything. And literally, like, Mr. Friedman, we surprised him in his class. To be fair, it was, like, a lot of intense situations. Like, it was fully, like, we surprised him. He didn't know what was happening. We had this, like, check. We had this, like, big check.
How much was it? Like,
I forget. It was a lot of money. I was like, something for the lottery or something. And, like,
oh my God.
Of course, like, out of all the teachers, he was my favorite one. And so
we show up
to this class. And Mr. Friedman literally goes, do you guys know who these girls are? And some kid in the back of the class just went, no. And I, when I tell you, like, I was in the opera department at Loxa. Like,
I thought you were in theater.
No, I was in opera, dude. I was an opera kid, which was not cool, which was like not the coolest thing ever. And I remember being like, oh my God, I'm actually back in high school. Like the fact that that happened, I think I peed in my pants. Like, I think I literally was like, I was so nervous to be around these kids.
Yeah.
So
and
scary.
I hated everything. I was like, I'm never coming back here ever again. I was like, I did my thing. I've come back to Loxa. The kids are scary and I'm terrified.
Wow.
But after that, I was like, I'm not going back.
Oof.
Very
and I'm
terrifying.
Not on the Wikipedia page.
That's so fucked
up. That's a crime.
Not that it's
fine, but I think it's really funny. I think it's really funny that like Loxa actually wants to separate themselves from the Haim family. They're like, we don't
that's
like
a detriment
you.
To that school, but
I mean,
that's
massive.
Yeah.
And then how did you two meet and how did you connect over the subject matter of middle school?
So we met in college, but we didn't even meet. We both went to NYU and we didn't meet until we were in Amsterdam. We were doing this like study abroad program, like a intensive theater training. Mm-hmm. And we met then, right? And we had like mutual friends.
We did have mutual friends, and we, I think, I just thinking back, like, I saw your clowning character, because, you know, it was 25 of us, but we didn't know each other very well, and we were doing things that I had never done before, since you guys went to college, art college, basically, in high school, you right. had done so much of this, but my mind was, like, absolutely blown. I remember your clown was, like, the funniest fucking character ever. No.
We both had crazy old mask clowns. Work.
Yeah, you. Play, by the way, right? There was overlap in characters. There was where overlap. We both would play like weird fucking old people, or
and
you were
slash
a puppet.
We both had anxiety, a lot of anxiety
Remember
about
your puppet
one. No. Oh yeah.
I was just like, well, this girl is the like most talented person that I've ever met.
We
and your song.
We I don't even. Oh, the song. Sure. We
sure.
I had so much anxiety going to that. Like, my biggest, so anytime I'm in a theater class, I hide. Like, I actually, it's really funny. Like, I have no fear when I'm on stage, but when I'm in a classroom setting, I'm like, please don't pick on me. Like, I don't pick me
well,
to go up.
Like, it feels like everyone's, your classmates are watching you.
They're all so talented. It just felt like a lot of pressure. And yeah. It was like, you have to make your own work and you have to make it fast. And it's like very...
Right.
And I think both you and I one day, like, we showed up early because it was the day of showing your final piece. It was like a Brechtian fairy tale, whatever the fuck. And we were like,
I didn't sleep
coming
that
up.
Night.
We didn't sleep, and we were like doing it last minute. We were like coming up with something last minute. So we were both there together, like kind of, and that's where we bonded, and then
yeah,
hung out
and didn't sleep. I mean, didn't. Like, coming up with something last minute despite working on it for 12 hours.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, it was like I was spinning with anxiety, yeah. Going, what is... Yeah, just so much pressure on myself all the time. And I think Maya felt the same way,
yeah.
Right? With mm-hmm. art and stuff. And then... And yeah, there was a bonding in that. And we just became really, really close as friends, not
yeah.
as making things together or anything. And went through breakups at similar times.
Yes,
and had like
stayed at your apartment
a lot of sleepovers.
A lot.
And, you know, it was a really important, it was a set, you've said this before, but a second coming of age. It was like a very important time. And it was right after college that we just, you know, could rely on each other and trying to adult in a new way. And
we were working at restaurants, trying to do unpaid theater. And we just kept thinking like, oh, we'll just get discovered like that. We'll just like get an agent. We'll start acting, whatever. That's what
God,
happens, right?
I paid for so many acting, like meet agents.
Oh, God, it's all bullshit. And we just didn't like get anything, of course. And we would do some theater, but it was really experimental mm-hmm. or unpaid. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't until I moved to LA, actually. I moved to LA because I was getting, like, theater work here, mm-hmm. surprisingly. And so, and then you were like, Maya, we need to...
Actually make something
We need to
together.
Make something. And I think it's funny because we studied that. We studied, like, the art of making your own work, but I just never...
For yourself.
For
also,
yourself.
That was the, yeah.
Yeah, and I just didn't let that click in. I was sort of like, oh, in my head, this is how it goes. You have to, like, audition, and then you get cast in something, and then that happens. And it sort of was hard to imagine a life of, like, oh, you can take agency for
mm-hmm.
yourself and, like, write something for yourself. Like,
mm-hmm.
it just didn't seem like I could even do that,
mm-hmm.
so...
And the only reason that I got to that place was because... I was in a place where I was like, okay, I'm not going to act anymore. I'm going to go back to school. And I realized how much pressure I put on myself and how depressed I was, to be honest. And so it was this moment of going like, this is the first time in my life where I'm not doing something on some level to get whatever response or affirmation of myself that I'm looking for. Let's just do what we think is, which is so obvious in
right.
retrospect. But you don't realize, or I didn't realize how much people-pleasing I was doing in absolutely everything
totally.
That I do. And so taking it back and being like, everybody can hate this, but what do we want to spend our time loving when we're doing all these commercial auditions where I want to, you know, whatever, not go ever again.
Yeah.
The joy, you know, of like, why did I do this in the first place and trying to, you know, kind of take that out of it again. So
yeah, you were
the
was 10-15, like, was like the
essence of Pen 15? Was that like the first idea you guys had, or were there like a million ideas?
A bunch more ideas. I mean, well, we had done a web series together where we played, because what we realized we connected on was sort of, we felt like outcasts. So that's sort of like the theme of everything we had made together, was just like we felt like fish out of water. Yeah, like fringe of society, like just not fitting in. Mm-hmm. So that was sort of our first foray into it, was in playing that web series, right. Playing weird characters, which we've taken down because they're probably problematic now. And we've got just some of them, you know. So we did that. And then we started coming up with ideas, and I think one of them was like a convoluted version of Pen 15, what ended up being Pen 15, but it was about
a cult
that we had escaped from, and then like we hide as middle school children.
Like foster children that pretend to be 13-year-olds.
So it was like so convoluted. But then and then we met Sam Zwiebelman, who's the third creator, and he became our friend, and then he helped us like just
kind of distilled it to something more simple. But and this idea of, you know, the limbo that you can be in. I mean, as I'm talking about like people pleasing and stuff, I definitely learned that early, and then you take it on forever. And so, until you've done enough therapy, which I'm still in.
We all are. By the way, this podcast is all about people pleasing. Like, this, we're the biggest people pleasers.
Why do you think we have a fucking podcast about seventh grade? Because literally, like, I'm still, no, like, our whole mantra is that, like, who you are in seventh grade is who you are for the rest of
your life. Agreed.
So, there you go. Fully. Yep, that was so, sort like, of the
everything.
Thesis.
I learned everything, like, how to talk to dudes, how to, how to get friends, like, all these things was all seventh grade because then you also have hormones and then you start it all together. Out,
your brain is forming at that time. It's like, it's a wild, And there's times in my life. Go ahead.
No, you go. Of course, people pleaser.
And there
it is.
I'm an idiot. Go ahead.
I'm so sorry that I even uttered one word. I am so sorry.
You guys, I feel really bad.
I'm just kidding. No. Please go first.
I fully forgot what I was going to say. But now you want to go. So
Okay, fine. I was going to ask, were there any stories, because I'm sure the Pen 15 is all autobiographical, or most of it. Were there any stories that came from you, Maya, that ended up in the character of Anna?
Ooh, that's such a good question. That is a good question. Actually, well, I definitely think things that happened in your life, okay, like for the last season especially, the final episode or the second to last, wherever Maya gives her first blowjob. That was a combination of, and the breakup, that was a combination of what happened to me and then what happened to you and your friend, right?
That breakup radio. So there's a scene where Maya finally has her first boyfriend dating an older, I love this dynamic so much. It's so good. Dating an older high schooler, but who's like the lowest on the totem pole, but cool to us. And
such a dick.
Right. It was like process of elimination that you guys are together. Anyway. I don't know. I haven't thought about that in so long. It's been a while. Anyway. And then he is going to dick to you. It's so crazy that this really happened to my best friend in middle school. He tells her to stay home from school one day so they can like stay homesick together. And he told her to turn the radio on. He said, "Are you listening to Kiss 108 right now?" She turned the radio on. He said, it was Santana playing. He said, "Every time you hear this song, I want you to remember this is me breaking up with you right now."
Is that not insane? That happened
that
in
actually
real life.
Happened.
That happened. That's,
I did not know that actually happened in real life.
My God.
It seems too, like, over
cuckoo.
The top. Yeah,
yeah, no, that it's happened.
And that happened to your friend.
That happened to our best friend, which I had to ask permission. Like, there are definitely stories that have come in from multiple people, and we've had to ask permission.
I was going to say, have people from your middle school reached out and been like, "Hey, that was my story," or anything that has happened
in
that way?
Or like, "I'm sorry."
No. You can sue? We're in a lawsuit right now. No, I'm just kidding.
No. We've always asked permission from friends. Like, for example, the tit sucking, the wet sops, which didn't quite fully come across. That happened to my friend. So after the first season came out, I went to like a party where there were definitely people who I went to middle school with. And Brandt was just the name that we used. She didn't change the fucking name with characters.
I didn't know that it was their real names.
It wasn't fully based on him. It was like an amalgamation of like all these different people from my school too. But I just loved the name Brandt. But anyway, I saw Brandt and he was like,
great name.
He just was like, oh, so I guess that's, that was me, huh? And I was like, no, like it's not really you. Sorry, we used your name, but yeah, anyway. And then
you immediately
turned back into a seventh grader. Yeah. Like, no, I don't like you. I don't like you.
Well, what's crazy is it makes me seem crazier. I hope you didn't watch the rest of the show because in it, it takes like a crazy turn where I start like stalking him. But I did that to someone else. It wasn't him. I stalked another boy whose name I shall not say.
But also when Maya and I became friends, like you and I really also talked about our mutual friend, because basically you went to Crossroads from 7th to 9th or 6th to 8th.
I went from kindergarten to 9th.
Okay, kindergarten to 9th. So we have all these mutual friends.
I know.
And our conversation, I mean, how many times would we bring, like even just now I'm like, oh, was it Brandt? And then name redacted.
Right.
It's like the amount of mutual friends just from like high school that we have. I feel like we also got into seventh grade.
I took over because I knew everybody that you hung out with at Loxa.
Exactly.
Because you were friends with my sisters. So we know your whole life.
You know my whole life. Well, I'm so happy you do.
That was partly how Pen 15 happened, because I'm from Situate. I'm from a town far away and came here and was seeing Maya. Like, I was going out with Maya and she was like, everyone's from middle school and I'm still hanging out, you know, everyone. I would feel that vibe. Like, I thought I was an adult and then I'd be in this environment. Yeah, we'd both be like, I would be like, I feel like he's the popular guy. That's the girl. Like, the dynamic was very high school.
But it's like that every, don't you find that it's like that to this day at any party? Like, it's really insane how I went to a party on Saturday and I like really haven't been out much in 3 years. And it was, first of all, like so many kids from Crossroads and all, you know, the private schools on the west side of LA. And it was so many people I hadn't seen since high school. And it turned into a full, it was like reunion, but they were like the popular kids who were like deep inside. Of course, I was standing by the door and it was an open door because I was like, I don't want to get COVID again. So I was like the goody two shoes, but it put me in the position where I had, because I was standing next to the door, I was basically greeting everyone who walked in. It was not my party. And then I got to the party. They're like, oh my God, who are you? And I felt like I was a nerd because I also was like, it was a wine bar and I'm allergic to wine.
No, you are?
Did you bring like a little flask or anything?
No, because no. Like,
you were the bouncer of the, was, you were the bouncer.
The
you were
bouncer.
The bouncer.
No flasks allowed.
Fully the bouncer. And it brought me back to seventh grade. Funny. Because just being like, it's narc energy, which we talk about in the last episode.
I have narc energy. You have scrambling technology energy. I have narc energy where no one wanted to do anything around me. And it really... It's not cool.
But then in dating, I mean, we talk about this all the time. In dating, I've still felt embarrassed by everything I ever did.
Oh my God,
like, the next day, and actually I wanted to ask you, when you remember a moment that you've had that is so embarrassing, what do you do? Do you do something like an action? Like if you're driving and you remember something so embarrassing, is there like a visceral, or do you just... Because we have our thing.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Do you do something to combat it? Or do you do something that's like,
I basically turn into Natalie Portman. I've said this, but I turn into Natalie Portman from
Garden State,
where she's like, that's like what I do.
Yeah, like that.
And then
I
read whatever sign is like nearest. So I'll be like, Alpine, oh, Palm. And I'm just like reading the street signs as I'm driving. I'm like, Alpine, Palm. And then I just say that. But so do you have anything that you do? Because this to me is like seventh grade.
My sides of my lips go down and I smell something bad.
I feel like I do what you do a lot. I just go like, oh, no, no. Like,
I think you do that. Yeah.
I call them dork tingles too. Like I get like literal goosebumps.
You dated someone with dork tingles.
I dated someone who gave me dork tingles.
I know,
tingles.
That's what I'm saying.
Wait, really? What year?
without like giving recent? It away. No, like I would say like several relationships ago. But like
okay, got it.
Yeah. I would get the like straight, like if my body viscerally reacts to someone, that's a sign that
all the time. Because it was a great relationship.
It was
then every once in a while you'd be like, no, he's so great. I got the dork tingles again. And I'm just not sure. It just always killed me.
I know.
It's such a good description.
So mean.
Did you guys have boyfriends in middle school? Like, did any of you guys have?
Because I didn't. I did.
Oh, wait, no, I had a boyfriend in middle school.
You did.
Oh yeah, you did.
Eighth grade.
Of course,
you guys did. I didn't.
No, not of course.
I had to wait. I got my first boyfriend junior year of Loxa, and he went to Oakwood.
That's when I got it too. I think I was junior year also.
But you guys, you didn't have like quote unquote boyfriends where you never talked to each other.
No, I, well, the hand, to go back to the hand job in F lot, he was my carpool driver and I was in love with him.
Nice.
He was like the most amazing artist. I was like, I was like the kind of thing where I was like, God, I'm in love with his art. You know what I mean? Like I was like trying to be
so
deep.
Cool. Yeah.
I was like, God, he's just like his brain.
He's so
his
cool. Brain.
Like
he's
just
so cool.
Like does really good art.
Totally.
You know? And I was in love with him. He was my carpool driver. And I gave him a hand job in F-Lot. And then he didn't speak to me for a whole year. And he was my carpool driver.
That is
you had to ride in silence?
We rode in silence.
Every time I got into the car, he would not acknowledge my presence.
Every time he puts the car in drive, you're like flashbacks.
I know. I'm like, oh, God, that's what I did. We were in his trunk. And because he had like a Jeep thing with like an open trunk. And we were like in his trunk. I know. We weren't in like a... Like a, it wasn't like a serial killer.
Like that sounds
he didn't
like scary. A problem.
No, but he didn't talk to me the whole year, and then
I'll
never
theory?
Forget the thing that I think he was just like embarrassed, or maybe I don't know. Like I think I also had again narc energy. I was like psychotic, where like I gave him a hand job, and then I was like, oh, naturally we're gonna get married. So like I think he kind of
right.
saw that, like, because that was like the first time I had done anything kind of.
Can I ask a crazy question?
I want to ask the same question.
Well, did you put spit in your hand?
Not okay. My question.
Because for me...
Was that your question too, Anna?
No.
No.
I wanted to know if
so
it came.
Embarrassing. Okay, that's...
Okay,
that's
I can
question.
Answer both questions. Okay. I can answer both questions. One, no, did not spit in my hand because I didn't even know what the fuck I was...
I didn't know spit until last year. I didn't know that
I didn't
that
even, are you
supposed
to... Wait, are you not supposed to put... spit? Okay.
I don't know, but... Guys, let me just tell you something.
Spit's a good, it's, you don't have to buy anything.
I don't think I had ever given a hand job until, like, last year. Like, I do think that I'm serious.
Like,
I had sex. I was scared to touch the dick because I didn't want to do it in a bad, I didn't want to be bad at it. And I also never showed my boobs because people made fun of my boobs when I was younger. So I didn't show, because... It's like so racist what they would say. I won't even say it. But like, it was like very, they were my friends and they were being.
And they're not your friends anymore.
No.
Yeah, fuck that.
But I didn't show my boyfriend for 2 years. I would have sex and wear a bra.
Oh,
like I was like, and so that's what I mean is I love my boobs now, but I just, you know, at the time, so I didn't do hand job. I just had sex.
That's wild.
It's weird.
My stomach's starting to hurt because I'm thinking of my first hand job. And I had like a problem, and I still do, with like very dry hands.
Oh, no.
And it was the middle of the night in the woods against a car. And
ooh,
no
scary.
Right.
That's hot.
Kind of scary, you'd think. But I was just, I didn't know. And it just very quickly
angle.
Got soft.
No one knows.
Yeah,
I don't even know.
That's a funky angle.
Yeah, that's like...
Is there a good angle? Except just like sit there like...
No, to me, I always think of the Sex and the City episode with the hand job, the tutorial where the guy is lying.
The tantric.
And she's like,
the tantric. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did once do it like a fire and he didn't know, and he looked down and he started hysterically laughing. And that worked. The
but
first
you like
time
that.
Did not work. Obviously,
yeah.
nor
did
the next.
But the fire,
you know,
did the fire,
times.
The fire worked.
It eventually worked.
It was like okay. You were on alone.
Well, you know what?
And it didn't hurt the wrist as much.
It's actually not bad.
I'm going to try that.
Worth a try. Yeah. The fire. Oh,
well, God, let's report back in 10 days.
Okay.
Follow up. I need 10 days. I need to find a dude. Like, I know. I need to find a dude. I feel like 10 days is like a realistic time frame to find dude.
This is like a great episode of a documentary of like finding someone in 10 days and seeing if
to give a specific kind of hand job.
I love that.
I do too.
Guys, here we go. If anyone would do it, if anyone can make it happen, it would be the people on. It's like a Vice documentary.
No, it's full Vice.
It's a Vice documentary.
This has wanted to
needs to give so a hand job funny. In 10 days. Honestly, you guys, we would be up to the minutes, like the seconds. It would be like she has an hour. She still has not found one person.
You call just it time job.
Time job. Time job. It's time job. It's literally called time job.
I love it.
Amazing. It's done.
And
it's
literally there would be like a countdown on like the bottom half, like the bottom of the screen, and it would be like by the last second, that's when I would find a dude. It is hard out here for me.
Fear factor. That's so incredible.
Oh my God.
Wait, so were you? Was that how old were you when you gave your first hand job?
Junior year of high school.
Junior year,
I think
feel like junior year was also a very formative year. Like junior year is like kind of when I got my shit together. Wait, Maya, didn't you like throw all the after parties for? Was that? Did you throw any after parties?
I think I threw a fun party where I have maybe pictures of. No, I can't.
Were your parents out of town?
They were out of town.
Whoa.
I think Danielle came to it.
Danielle came to it, yeah.
Yeah.
That was it. It was, I think it was
and
like a birthday party.
She said it was
party.
Like the best party. She did
it was
say,
a fun party.
And she would be totally fine with me saying that it was like one of the greatest parties she had ever been to.
That is a huge.
Not a surprise. Yeah.
Compliment. Wow.
I know. Mine has a real cool factor also.
I don't. I'm actually not at all. It's so funny. I couldn't be less cool.
I also remember when I first came to LA and I lived under a rock, you played their music for me.
I did. I was like, I'm obsessed. Yeah.
Oh, I was obsessed. Nice. And I was like, day one. Because usually you're like, oh, cool, your friends from high school have a band. Granted, Locks is different.
I was like, no.
But she was like, no.
Different.
And then I freaked out.
We listened to it all the time.
And then you guys came to a party, I think,
to the
maybe
our
just
Mana
you,
party.
To our Mana party, which was our web series party after it came out. No, I didn't know a soul. And I had so much social anxiety that I got the highest that I've ever been in my life. And you came in the other room and I was on the ground.
You hid in Tai Chi's
on the
room.
Yeah, I was like, anyway.
That's also Tai Chi, well, two things I need to say. So you guys came to Danielle's, I think, 30th birthday?
Yes.
And this was like
That's where I met.
It was an epic party, and I got so drunk. And Anna, I love you so much, but you literally let me, like I literally forced you into a corner and like told you all of my seventh grade trauma. Because you need to put this in the show. And I very clearly remember the next day being like, Anna's never going to speak to me again. I was like, oh my God. I was like, oh my God. I put all my seventh grade trauma on this poor girl that I literally
That's all I want to talk about. No, you would never even have recalled. I tell her everything. I would have said that.
Yeah,
I was like, she's the fucking nicest, best person in the entire world. And I had the best night. You made me feel, I'm so not, don't feel comfortable, to be honest, in those things.
Same.
And so I just always feel like a loser, right? So you wanting to have that conversation and I already have so much admiration for you and then being like, oh my God, she's so nice and cool.
It's so nice to hear that you two feel this way.
Yeah,
because
the morning
when
after
I hear
regrets.
People that I like think are the best feel like I admire, I think are funny, are smart, are interesting people and like can't do any wrong, really. It's like, oh, you feel that way too? It's a little validating. Yeah. Doesn't mean I'm the same, but it is validating, you know? It's good.
The morning after spin out.
The morning after spin out is every night for me. Every time.
Oh.
Because I overshare too. So that's part of it. Is I'm like, why did I fucking say that to that person?
Yeah.
They don't care.
You guys,
now
and TikTok,
there.
TikTok told me that because now I get all my news, all my hard-hitting news from TikTok. That when you overshare, because me and Sasha, you'll talk to me for 5 minutes, I'll literally tell you my deepest drama.
Yeah,
because we're people pleasers.
It's like a
people-pleasing thing. TikTok told me that. Yeah, like it's like a people-pleasing thing is like you overshare because like you don't like you don't like silence in a conversation, which I hate. Like, I literally, if there's silence in one conversation, I'll just say something fucking insane like that has nothing to do with anything we're talking about. And then to spark other new conversations. And it is an oversharing problem where I'm like, literally, that's what I do with you.
Way rather have that's my comfort zone.
At a party, conversation at a party versus like, hey, like, houses are you looking at? Like, it's
I'd rather talk about like how my dad died than the weather. Like, I don't want that is my comfort zone.
I lead with my insecurities. I will if something is going on that is just like I will lead with. That like it is a tight 10 for everyone. I mean, it's like anyone I meet, because I have to put myself down, which I've actually gotten better at not doing.
Yes,
but it was a party trick, like tell someone my quote unquote deepest darkest secret and they will love me.
That's actually how we actually really became best friends, is because I think we both did that. Like, I was ashamed of the kind of like porn I watched, and I was like, I don't know, like, if I can talk about this. And then I started like saying it
at parties all the time.
And then I would say it at parties every time. So it did teach us some good things in the sense of like it's
a double-edged sword.
It is,
yeah. Because there's something about that I find, like, it's why I love memoirs or you know, why we made our show or why you're doing your show. It's like you feel less alone. You have the opportunity when you hear other people's truth that we're all taught to be like, shame, 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 never talk about it. And then it's this amazing thing that to have that willingness on one hand to share things that a lot of people aren't comfortable sharing. It's wonderful. But then the other side of it is sometimes being like, I'm naked. Why am I doing this? You know, emotionally naked. Like, what is finding that line for me is really like a quest that I'm still on of like, when is it people pleasing and when is it me? I'm just like still trying to find myself all the time. I'm realizing.
If you could go back and visit yourself in seventh grade, do you have any, you know, words of wisdom that you would like to share with your younger self? Like, is there anything you would tell your younger self with the knowledge you know now?
I just got nauseous.
Me too.
There's so much. A lot of it, though, is so intense. I mean, gosh. I've said, it's funny. We've just changed a lot. Like, if you asked me 2 years ago, I would have said, I think I've said this before. Don't be afraid of failing. When you fail, that is, you're going to fail. You're going to fail a lot.
Right.
And throughout your entire life in ways that I don't even know yet, but so far they have all been the biggest opportunities for you to be fuller inside, you know, and to follow that. And I think right now how I feel is stop fucking trying to please everybody.
Right.
And if you're not pleasing everybody, you're not a fuck up and you're still lovable. And if people are making you feel otherwise, they can go fuck themselves. So I'm coming from a violent place right now.
Well, it is. It's in the same vein of like, it's a Virgo full moon. I think it's mine sort of in line with that. If it's been the same thing of, you know, I think because seventh grade is where I believe a lot of my insecurities formed at that time. And, you know, I think before I felt like so confident and like wild and I would raise my hands all the time to speak in class. But then if one person said something shitty, it like just kept like dimming that fire inside me, and it would just like make me so scared to even speak. So I think I would just say like the same thing. I mean, it's really just like, don't I don't know, because it's so much easier to say than actually do it, but I still have to take this advice myself, but it's like, block out the noise and just like keep doing what makes you happy. So if it makes you happy to like answer this question and you're wrong, that's okay. Like, just keep doing the thing that pleases yourself. It's the same.
Connect to the fire.
Connect to the fire. Don't let people dim that fire.
Connect to the fire. There we go.
I want to know for you. Yeah, what about you guys? Really quickly.
Oh, for me, I mean, it's exactly what you guys said. And also on top of that, just like make out with more people. Or like try to do that.
Yeah, I love that.
Well, because the thing is, it's like when I think back to like when I was in, like I felt so insecure when I was in seventh grade. And like, we talk about this all the time. Like I never shaved. Like my mom didn't let me shave. Also maybe shave your fucking legs and don't like tell your mom to stop making you not shave. Just
totally,
shave.
Yes.
Like the episode when you, like when you're, that when you
really
shave,
happened.
Like that was my mom was like so anti-shaving. What if I had a daughter, I would be like, Godspeed. Here is a Venus embrace.
My mom like, terrified me. She's like, once you shave, it'll be so thick for the rest of your life. And
you
it's
know,
like,
I've never shaved in my life.
She always waxed.
Excuse me?
From day one.
Excuse me?
My mom said, it is going to grow back thicker. You cannot shave. And so Layla, my best friend, was getting waxes at Mila Skincare in the Pacific Palisades. And she took me one time and I got a tiny little quadrant of my mid-calf waxed. Yeah. And I was so obsessed with that one little square. And I would like take baths and lift my leg up and watch the water fall down in just that one square.
That's such a pinch. That is such a good detail.
I know.
Like such a good visual.
I mean, whoa. It was like such, and I would just keep doing it. And then I begged my mom and I was like, can I please start waxing? And so she let me start waxing, I believe, in 10th grade or 9th grade.
Well, that's
but I
late.
Also... I'm going to brag. Like, this is a brag, but I have blonde leg hair.
You literally don't even see her hair. The thing is like, when I look back at photos, because I have, like, albums, like, how you guys have of, like, me in seventh grade, like, obviously I didn't have my shit together, but I was, like, cute. And I think I hindered myself. I mean, even going back to the very beginning of this episode where, like, we talked about were we cool in seventh grade, like, I, like you, Maya, was the broker. Like, I brokered the hookups. I was the middleman. The guys would come to me. I would go to my girls. I'd make the thing up. I'd, like, literally set a date and a time, and it would happen. Yeah. I basically had a schedule book for my friends.
Wow. In some way, it felt like you were kind of hooking up with the guy if you were like hooking them up with someone. You know?
Involved.
Yeah,
I'm involved.
Completely.
I should have been a matchmaker, honestly, in later years. I mean, I can't literally find a man to help. Like, I literally cannot find a man for myself right now, but it's fine. That's a whole other fucking. I'll do a whole other podcast about my 30s. But yeah, no, it's like, I wish I was. I was so mean to myself when I was younger.
Me too.
Like I just hated everything about my body, about my face. Like,
we're taught to do that.
Teeth.
And it
was like, and it was the compare and despair of it all, where everyone, all the cool girls that were there, like felt like they had everything and everything, like in, like they just knew what to do in seventh grade. And I just felt like I was like, I didn't get the rule book. Like, how did everyone got this book, this rule book of like how to be cool in seventh grade. And I just like didn't have that. I didn't subscribe. So when I would go to, like, if I could go back to myself, I would just be like easy, like just easy. Feel easy.
Yeah.
On myself.
And
that's why, I mean, we say it every episode, but like this podcast is like our form of giving our younger selves like a hug, because now it's like,
I love that.
All
yeah.
the crazy embarrassing. I mean, we've all this podcast is just embarrassing stories. And like now, thankfully I can look back and laugh at them.
Yeah.
But when they were happening IRL, I wanted to die. Yeah. Like I was like, this is never going to end. But I'm glad that it's funny now. And I wish I could say, like, you're going to laugh about this. Because everyone always tells you you're going to laugh about something. And then you're like, it's never going to happen.
Exactly. And then you do.
And then I still cry about it as well.
But can I tell you something?
It's both.
I remember not only my embarrassing moments, but other people's embarrassing moments to this day. So it is true that it doesn't go away. But it's still, you don't judge them. You're just like... No. I remember when he tripped in front of me and fell and then got up and started walking
and
away.
I'm sure like the cavemen had the same memories, just like next to a rock and not in school.
Yeah.
As they got older. I feel like this is like a human species thing. It's a super developmental time and
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely. And cave women.
Yeah.
And everyone else.
And cave people.
And cave people. That's cave people. I'm sure the cave people had the same thing.
You guys,
we're so happy to have
you. Thank you for coming on Free Period.
Fun
This was so fun. I wish it was always like this.
Yeah. Well, now we're going to go out.
We're going to go to dinner next
week. We're going to have a good time. We can do, I'll add the sisters into the group chat.
Fantastic.
And it'll be great.
And we'll find someone to do a fire
I have 10 days.
Job.
I have 10 days to do a fire
truly
job.
Truly, no, take that on right now. I'm
just
going to
film
it's
you
real.
The entire time at dinner. You're going to be like, that was a joke. We're not doing that.
I'm like, no, but I really want to do it because I literally have not been touched by a man in a very long time. I am
You're
down.
Doing it.
Let's do it.
I'm You're doing
it.
You're
going to
be touching
days.
The man.
10 days.
Well, you have 10 days, Alana.
I have 10 days. I have 10 days.
This is perfect.
Godspeed.
I love you guys,
you guys
so
really
much.
Love you.
Thank
you
so
much.
Thank you. So
thank, you. Thank you for listening to Free Period, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Bye.